We get so accustomed to wearing that facade that we do it in the church, we do it at home, we do it in the market, we do it everywhere. But God is able to look in our hearts and in our minds and tell us the purpose. You see, as the Samaritan approached, Jesus already knew from start to finish about his life. He didn't have to ask him a thing. But God is so gracious that many times in knowing, he even gives us an opportunity to change what is. God is an all-seeing and an all-knowing God. God knew from the beginning of time that you would be here tonight. Before you were even conceived, before you were even born, God knew. There are no surprises to God. But in knowing, he can guide our path. How many of you have ever been sick? I mean, really sick. Maybe sick down in the bed and you thought, I don't know if I'm going to make it, Lord. What do you have in mind? One time, I was very ill. Had to have an operation, and it was like the life was leaving my body. And one night, I was at home. After that operation, I couldn't climb the stairs, and I lived in a two-story house. And I remember the night that God's healing virtue came and filled my body. I started praying and I cried out to God. And I said, Lord, touch me. Lord, touch me. And all at once, my body felt strength. And I got up out of that bed. And that was it. God connected with me, and the illness was cured. You see, I've seen the power of God work many times. And the song that says, yes, God is real, for he's real in my soul, I know about that. And when you've had a touch from God, physically, mentally, or spiritually. I was down to death's door. I don't know how many have ever been there. I had the operation. I came home from the hospital. Pneumonia set in. I had to go back to the hospital. And I remember asking the doctor, I said, could I be home for my birthday? We all enjoy birthdays. I didn't want to party, I just wanted to get home. And the doctor said, you'll get to go home for your birthday. The doctor had stopped me from driving. And I missed church so much. At one Sunday morning, I got up. And I didn't have a garage opener where the door would go up when I pushed something. I had to lift that garage door. And without the doctor's permission, I went to church and had a marvelous time. So I decided I better call the doctor the next day and ask him if I can drive. I drove to church. And the nurse said, well, you raised the garage door and you drove. Go on driving. But I had to exercise that faith, and God showed compassion. We in the church need to learn to show compassion to people. We need to tear down the facade and just be who we are and be lovable. Always remember, a soft word turns away what? Turns it away. That's the word of God. Sometime when we come to church, we don't feel 100%. We are physical. We are emotional. Our mind and our body is not always in sync. How many's ever had a bad day? A really bad day. And the devil really works on Wednesday nights. Works full time. You get there to church and go, oh my goodness, I hope we get this over quick. Oh, okay, I'm listening. And drag on home. And Sunday is the Jubilee. We like to be busy as people. Like to be busy. The kitchen committee, the usher board, the choir, the busy bee club, the missionaries. Sometime we claim something as our own. And when you do that, it's a problem. And I'm just talking about practical, everyday things. Because this is where you're living. Because I live there too. But even in situations that begin to get on your last nerve, how many have a last nerve? And you know how, when it gets to that point, you have to catch onto the pew or something and try to rock it away. Suppose Jesus had taught or acted that way to the Samaritan. Suppose Jesus had acted that way to you. This is the 80th year of this church. I'm going to give you some information, and this is free. What do you think the next 80 years looks like? Close the door and go home? You have a major responsibility because you're here. And this church was planted here as a lighthouse on a hill. And being planted here as a lighthouse on a hill, you have duties to do. Compassion to the children in the church. Compassion to the people that are ill in the church. Sometimes we're of the philosophy that you join church and it's like one dab will do it. Those altars have to be used continually. Continually. And you never get so big, I don't know how long you've been attending church here, that you think, oh, I just hope at that altar call. Hope some sinner goes to the altar. So I'm all right. Lord, send some sinner up to that altar. And sometime if you would just be still and know that he is God, God might be tapping right on your shoulder and say, you are to go to the altar. And the thing about it, God is so faithful, he'll meet you there. And he said, the reason why I wanted you to come to the altar, do you remember 2 weeks when you spoke to Sister Jones? Do you remember how short you were with her? I do, Lord, but that's just my way. And he tells you, that's not my way. You have to get right and get right with God. Heaven is a pressing way. We press to the mark of the... We've got to press our way. The devil would have us to be busy and not be cognizant of what's going on around us. And never be too big to say, I am sorry. I'm not perfect, and news for you, you're not perfect either. We strive for perfection. Why have a revival? Because we need to be revived. Fortunately, you have a pastor that is a very congenial person. He isn't lazy by any stretch of the imagination. He will not only ask you to do, but you'll find sometimes he is running 100 degrees at a time doing. You need to support your pastor. He's human. He's flesh. If you don't believe it, come over and kick his leg. Better step back. So we have to support the pastor. You don't always get praise for working in God's church. Some things are thankless. But the good part is, if I know I am truly serving God and he's leading me, that's the thanks those are the accolades I once get. If it's just going right, God has put some good workers in this church. Good workers. And it's the type of worker, you know, we get job descriptions on jobs. And some people hold that job description. And especially if you worked in the shop, you would go to your union steward and you'd say, that is not mine and I'm complaining. But in the church, whatever God wants you to do, you say, here am I, Lord. I'm willing. That's the criteria for working in God's church. Faithfulness. In Romans 9:15, I'll turn to it. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's an ability we learn to use in the church, is show mercy. Don't be a hard nose. Don't be a backbiter. Just because they didn't do it the way you would thought you should do it, be open to God, because God has those teaching moments. And we have to take advantage of those teaching moments. How many read your Bible 3 times a day? The Lord saw it. How many pray constantly through the day? Sometime we have to store those prayers up, because you might be coming to the stop sign and something happened that you didn't know was going to happen, and you'll push those brakes and you stop and say, "Oh Lord, thank you." Sometime I go to bed at night and I love to get in the bed and pray. It's just delightful. And I'll pray for things here in Michigan, and then I'll pray for Ohio. And another thing I do, I pray for this church, I pray for the pastor, then I think of another church, and I'll pray for the pastor, and I don't even go to that other church, and I'll pray for the pastor and the church. We are all in this together. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man, another man's brother. I don't mean to put you on the spot, Mrs. Cotterman, but in meeting you, I saw a person that was excited about God, a person that knew a lot about God, and a person that knew how to be kind. Your expressions you can't hide. And even when sometimes there's something getting on your last nerve, I can tell. But the joy of the Lord comes out. You're sweet. And my dear brother here, I admire you, my friend. Sometimes we need to lift each other up. I admire your faithfulness, your study. You'll do it. And my brother that directed the song service this evening, even when his helpmate was in the hospital, down, he did not know one thing. He was faithful. He came right on through that door. Faithful. And the Lord raised his helpmate right up. And she's with him this evening. Isn't that something? You can't be God-giving. And Sister Laura, stand up for a minute. This is a different kind of sermon. Stand up, Laura. I know I'm embarrassing her. I know I'll hear about it later, but God is good. I want you to stay encouraged. I want you to keep working. Keep supporting your pastor. Sometimes all the jobs you do, it just amazes me. She's over here, she's doing this, and then she's doing that, and she changes, and she does this and all. God sees. God understands. Be encouraged. See, a time of revival, it says, show the house to the house. In other words, you can take inventory, show the house to the house. Travis, you're young in the faith, but you just keep holding on to God. He will fill you in such a way, my God, you don't realize what God's going to do with your life. Be faithful with the little things, and he will reward you in big things. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And then, Pastor, God gave you a mother. That's fantastic. Who is not selfish. She would support you to the ends of the earth. Sister, continue to be encouraged. She's able to walk around and see the Lord, see the greatness of the Lord. Sister Gloria, continue to be encouraged. God has something special for you. And in due time, you know, we know of four seasons. We know of four seasons. But there's another season that God has that he will reward us. Sometime we need to just take the time and have a little inventory and make sure that our head's on straight and see where we're going. It says, be still and know that I am God. When you demonstrate those qualities, your life preaches a sermon. Your life preaches a sermon. And I'm sure that all of us that are here and all of those that have been here saw a part of that sermon preached. The greatest sermon ever preached is the sermon lived. That's the greatest sermon. Don't you just feel the love of Jesus? Isn't he wonderful? You don't have to be ashamed. All you got to do is hold on. And when it seems like it's getting a little rough, you just pray and just say, Lord, fill me new and afresh. Give me more. Give me more, Lord. My strength is not of this world. How many feel that you could use a little bit more compassion? In our humanity, sometimes we get weak. And what I mean by that, you know, and I'm not talking about anybody that is not here tonight, but some people have a mindset, a Sunday to Sunday mindset. And I'm not talking about anybody. I don't want you to go back and say, oh, he talked about you. He said you had a mindset and you weren't there tonight. No, the people that are here tonight were supposed to be here. Did you ever stop to think about that? We're not here by chance. In Peter, 1 Peter 3:8, it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courageous. That'll take you all the way to heaven. That'll take you all the way to heaven. It just seems like a command, the Lord speaking, finally. I mean, he's shown us miracles. He went on the cross. He died for us. And for him to say, finally. In other words, there was a little jewel that I wanted to show you. Finally. Then in Jude, the second chapter, and Jude is that short book. It's beautiful. The benediction he gives. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. How long? Both now and forever. Only God could do that. Now and forever. If you live to be 150 years old, you haven't realized forever. God is endless. We're going to end this service up around the altar. My mother was a very wonderful woman. She was a praying woman. She had 6 children. My father died when we were 8, when I was 8. And my mother decided she was going to go to Pennsylvania and stay with my aunt for a bit, because my father died on a Friday and my youngest brother died on a Monday, the Monday following the Friday. My mother had arrived back home from making the reservations for my father's final service. One of my aunts said, the baby's sick. We've got to take him to the hospital. And while my mother was sitting in that hospital, my little brother died in her arms. My sister, who had whooping cough, and the doctor had injected too many shots near her main nerve to her spine, was in the home. And my mother, she had to prepare a menu for my sister, a menu for my brother, a menu for my father, and a menu for my brothers, the other part. As she did that, she had to wash. She had to clean. And I'll never forget it, there was a neighbor, and if this is not showing compassion, who lived across the road from us. She told her husband, she says, I cannot go to work. I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to Mrs. Jackson's. She reported in like she was a maid every day. But the one thing my mother instilled in all of us was the love of Jesus Christ. She showed the faith that she had in God. And she wanted to raise each of us in the fear and admonition of God. And she did. What a woman. But God raised her up. God will take you higher than you'd ever imagine you could go. And he will keep you on the straight and narrow. Where all you have to do is cry out and say, Lord, I need a bit more. Lord, I need an input into my life. I never dreamed that I would be here tonight. I was thinking about that. For I have traveled under the tutorage of God in many places. And it's like the song, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all. If you could make your way up here to the front pews, we're going to have a prayer because I believe in the power of God. Not maybe. And if there's something that you need in your life, some input, that you need some more of God, just cry out to him. And as quickly as you speak it, God will give it to you. We're going to have a season of prayer. And what a season of prayer is that we all will pray at one time. You don't hear that much anymore. A season of prayer, and that means everybody's got to pray. And I'm not telling you what to pray for, but I'm just saying, just talk to God. I'll start the prayer and you just join right in praying where you are for what you need. Dear God, it's in the name of Jesus that we come this evening. We thank you for the ability that you give us, Lord God. And oh God, if there are needs here this evening, we ask you just to reach down, Lord God, and touch. Make us the people that you want us to be, Lord God. Empower us, Lord God. Lift the burdens from us, Lord God. If there's something we're seeking from you, Lord God, please give it, Lord God. Oh, Lord, help us to be even more faithful, Lord God, leaning on the everlasting word, trusting you to give us the power. If there's somebody that's ill this evening, Lord God, touch them from on high. Help your healing virtue just to come and penetrate their body in a new and a fresh way, Lord God. We thank you for each person that's under the sound of my voice this evening, Lord God. We thank you for Pastor Rob. And in the name of Jesus, we ask you to touch him now, Lord God. Help that just to go away, Lord God. If he never knows what it was, Lord God, help it to go away. Touch his leg this evening, Lord God. Oh, God, we appreciate his faithfulness, Lord God. Please, God, in the name of Jesus, touch him, Lord God. If there's someone here, Lord God, that needs salvation, Lord God, Lord, as they touch the hem of your garment, please, Lord God, start them on a new path. Rebuke and bind the enemy, Lord God. Because we know any time there's groups gathered together to praise you, there the enemy is trying to be in the midst, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, touch our lives, our minds, Lord God. Supply our needs, Lord God. Lord, we believe, we believe, we believe in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your refreshment, for the refreshment of our spirits, Lord God, and our minds and our bodies, Lord God. Be with us, Lord God. We trust you. 'Tis so sweet to trust you. Bless us, God. Rebuke and bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We believe, we believe. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first love me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Hug your brother or sister that's next to you and just say, God is real. God is real. God is real.